Welcome to the MS News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell, and I also have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. I am a columnist with MS News Today at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. Let me invite you to join our MS forums. We have over 1,000 active members discussing common themes and sharing their experience on living with multiple sclerosis. Please consider joining. You can find the link to the MS News Today forums in this episode's description. Welcome to the Multiple Sclerosis News Today podcast. I am your host, Jen Powell. Today, we are privileged to have with us Dr. Peyrovi. Dr. Susan Peyrovi is the founder of True Medicine, an online wellness program for multiple sclerosis. She is a physician practicing integrative and functional medicine at Stanford Center for Integrative Medicine. Currently, she is a clinical assistant professor at Stanford University in the Department of Anesthesiology, Perioperative and Pain Medicine. And Dr. Peyrovi is board certified in anesthesiology, hospice, and palliative medicine, as well as integrative medicine. She also holds certificates in functional medicine and medical acupuncture. One other tidbit you might not know is that Dr. Peyrovi also has multiple sclerosis. Dr. Peyrovi, welcome.
Thank you, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's quite a privilege to have you. I've read so much about you. Dr. Peyrovi, jumping right in, you're a doctor with MS, and I know to many of our listeners, they want to know how that might have really kind of hit you when you were diagnosed as a physician.
I certainly never planned on getting MS. Mm-hmm. And I think when we are healthcare practitioners, this idea develops that your patients get sick, you don't get sick. And when that happened to me, it really just stopped me in my tracks, like that this was not part of my plans. This, I don't have room for this in my life. I don't know how to deal with it. And why do I not know all the answers if I'm a physician? Like, I just don't know how to get myself well right now. And how do I dig myself out of this sadness? So it was a shock. And it really forced me to stop and rethink my life and my career and how I was doing things.
You bring up sadness. That's something many of us can relate to because it's a very isolating feeling when you get this diagnosis. And not that misery loves company, because that is not the case. But to hear a physician admit that is somewhat liberating, because it frees the rest of us to know we're normal and thinking that too.
There's always this grieving process. For me, it was like a loss of my old self. I thought I was the healthiest person in my family. And all of a sudden, there's this big thing that tarnishes that record. And I had to restructure my life. All of a sudden, I couldn't practice anesthesiology, something I had spent 4 years training to be able to do. And all of a sudden, over the course of a weekend, it was Memorial weekend, got the news Friday night. I was in the operating room when I got the news that my MRI showed MS. And I thought, am I coming back on Monday? I don't think I'm ever coming back. This is it, I think, because it wasn't safe for me to practice anymore with a weak left arm. I didn't know why my arm was doing this. 4 neurologists missed it. It wasn't until my mentor said to me, he's a hand specialist. He's a plastic surgeon, hand specialist. He says, I think you have MS. And it was the moment he said it, where it just like dawned on me. It was like this warm rush just going down my body. And I'm like, of course I have MS. This sounds exactly like MS. And why had I not figured this out on my own if I'm a doctor? You know, it's interesting. I just heard Christina Applegate in a story. She talked about, I should have paid attention more. I should have figured this out sooner. You know what? I couldn't figure it out, and I'm a physician. So like, we just have to cut ourselves some slack. Neurologists missed it. As lay people, there's no way you're expected to figure this out sooner. So whenever it gets diagnosed, it is what it is, and you do the best that you can with it. And so once I realized that this was a reality for me, it really helped me actually become laser focused on the things that were important. And so I did have that initial period of intense sadness, hopelessness, fear, isolation. And maybe that took 6 months or a year to kind of work its way through me, and I had to process it before I was able to dig myself out and say, you know what? It's okay. I'm reaching my new normal. I can see the light, and this is not the worst thing that could happen to me. I'm still here. I'm still alive, and I'm still able to interact with the people that matter to me, and I'm still able to do work that's meaningful. So like, I just need to figure out what is my path forward. And that's where I got stuck. Because I think
a lot of people get stuck there, because I think what they synonymize MS with is no path. And there is a path, and the path is different for everybody. The grieving process is very real, but I think figuring out what that path looks like can be difficult. And you mentioned that you were inspired. I mean, you decided that you thought conventional medicine was missing something. You founded True Medicine. What inspired you specifically to create that? Like, did you see something one day that just made you realize this is not the way to treat MS?
Well, I think it's the gift of when a physician becomes a patient, it gives you this depth and perspective that you cannot have if you've never had a health issue, when your vitality has never been compromised. I knew that there was a path forward, but even as a physician, I didn't know what it was. Sure, I was going to follow the recommendations of my neurologist. I'm not anti-medications. You know, I took those recommendations very seriously and I did my follow-up, but there was like this gut feeling that there's something else I should be doing, but I didn't know what it was. And the irony is, as a physician, I didn't know that there were all these other things I could be doing to improve my health, because I didn't learn it in medical school. It's not part of medical education. And I don't fault any of my doctors for that, because I was among those doctors who just didn't know. So I ended up at an integrative medicine conference that changed my life. It's the AIHM.org, and they're the most wonderful organization that I attend their conference every year, because that's where I started to learn about all the other tools that are out there to treat chronic disease from a very different perspective, and not to replace Western medicine, but to use those tools in concert with Western medicine, with pharmaceuticals, to get synergy. Because if my myelin is under attack, I'm going to do everything I can to interrupt that process. If it's DMTs and that's appropriate for me, I'm going to do that. If it's lifestyle habits and changing how I eat and sleep and manage my stress and move my body, I'm going to do those things. Because this happened to me in my early 30s. I had just had my first child. And the thought that kept going through my mind is, what if I can't take care of my child? Because MS is unpredictable, right? Or what if I can't take care of myself? Like, I can't brush my hair. Like, who's going to do that for me? And what is that going to be like, right? So these were the thoughts that kept going through my mind in the first 6 months to a year. That uncertainty of MS was really hard for me. But I learned in the first 2 years, maybe it took me about 2 years, I learned that it's okay that there's uncertainty, because what is certain is that I'm here today and I have access to the people I love and the conversations I want to have and to the work that feeds my soul. I can have a good day today and I'm going to worry less about all of the things that can happen. And part of that was like staying off the internet and not doing random searches. Right?
I agree 100%. I remember writing a column a while ago saying fear is one heck of a provocateur. I can't, I have a hard time speaking now, but it is. And fear, when fear motivates anything you do, whether it's a Google search on MS or anything, it's never going to turn out well. And I think you're absolutely right. When discovering how you want to complement your life or what you want to do with this disease, it is so important to listen to yourself and also know that the integrative approach is by far and away so superior. For those my listeners who aren't familiar with integrative approaches to MS, can you explain what that means?
Sure. So integrative medicine is the bridge between the non-pharmaceutical therapies, which I consider to be lifestyle medicine, you know, nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress reduction, toxin awareness, the use of botanicals and herbs and supplements, as well as complementary therapies like acupuncture, hypnosis, mind-body medicine techniques. So those are all the non-pharmaceutical therapies, and they're not really a part of Western medicine. Western medicine is mainly engaged with medications, radiology, labs, surgery. So integrative medicine brings the best of both of those things together, because I think that's when you truly get synergy and you get the best outcome. Lifestyle habits can actually elevate how your medications work. They can minimize the risks and side effects. And so if you really truly want the best outcome with MS, I think using an integrative approach where you tap into all the tools is the most powerful way to treat MS. And going back to your question about, you know, how did I come to create True Medicine? Well, as I kept learning about integrative strategies and I started expanding my lens by learning about functional medicine and palliative medicine, acupuncture, it was all of these different perspectives that kind of coalesced into this thought of, wow, it's taken me 5 years to learn this, and I'm a physician. How long would it take a layperson to synthesize this information, take what's important and use that, and let go of what's a waste of time? You know, it's not appropriate to expect a layperson to know this. So I thought that it was my way of giving back by creating that framework where you can just come in and just be laser focused on what works, and you can stop wasting your time, effort, and money on things that don't matter. I'm very conscious of how much effort and time and money is put into things. And, you know, the funny thing is, the things that actually are the most powerful and impactful tools are free. We all have access to them. It's not about getting that expensive gadget or the top of the line nutraceuticals or going and seeing that, you know, therapist who does that really, you know, special complementary therapy. Like, those things can be helpful, but they're not the focus of it. And as a person who's not engaged with industry, and I don't try to sell supplements or anything to people as part of my medical practice, I can be very unbiased in my recommendations of what works and what doesn't. And I've also lived it. I always want to stress that I don't expect people to do things I haven't tried on myself. You know, I try to kind of self-experiment a lot, because it helps me kind of troubleshoot where the pitfalls are and what helps and what doesn't. So this all kind of culminated in me creating True Medicine, where it's like, what if there was one place you could just come to, get the information in an easy, digestible way, so you don't have to go and scour the internet. And then here's the hard piece. It's implementing it. And if people could implement lifestyle habits, you know, we'd all have perfect habits. Maybe we wouldn't all have MS. Who knows, you know, but it's that implementation piece that's really hard. So we have a lovely health coach who's functional medicine certified, Dr. Roberta. She's our coach. And, you know, she and I work together to get people putting things into practice. And, you know, habits are made one small step at a time. No one does it in a week or a month. So that's the premise of what True Medicine is. We have a community of people with MS. And when we meet on Saturdays, it's like they're structured meetings. We're focused on moving forward, doing things that improve our health. So I've seen amazing things happen when people engage, but I wanted to make it easy for people to access integrative medicine and functional medicine, because unfortunately, those practitioners are very expensive to access. They're often not covered by insurance. And I always joke, if I didn't have like insurance, like I couldn't afford myself, you know, but unfortunately I practice medicine at Stanford that covers our patients. But out in the community, I mean, you know, these visits are $500 to $1,000 a visit. Like, who can do that, you know, long-term? So I really aim to make things affordable, accessible, safe, effective through
and
this program.
As an MS patient, I appreciate that. And to let everyone know, we will have the information to True Medicine on this episode's description. But I think, personally speaking, utilizing my own integrative approach to treating multiple sclerosis, things that I never thought I would when I was first diagnosed, because no neurologist knew, and it wasn't their fault, or knew to bring it up, because it was not in, it wasn't a DMT, or it wasn't part of my MRI. But now that I do mitigate my stress with meditation, or I do have quiet time, or accept that I'm having a suck day, it's okay. It's nothing. I am much more able to give myself grace throughout the process. And I think that alone allows us freedom to live a life that we never thought possible with MS, because we kind of sell ourselves short. We do. Mm-hmm. You know, and MS is, MS can be difficult. It is, I tell people, I have bad days of an otherwise beautiful life. It is that way. And I appreciate your approach, because it does help people understand that the symbiotic relationship of the mind, body, spirit is powerful. And only when we have those three connected can we really heal the body. So tell me more about how your diagnosis came to fruition. A lot of people have a difficult diagnostic journey. Was yours lengthy?
I think mine was relatively short, given that I knew something was wrong and I kept pushing. So after the birth of my first child, I noticed my left arm was weak, and I went probably back to work too soon, a month after, you know, he was born, because I was itching to get back in the operating room. I love that. And I was dropping things. I dropped a tray of food. I was having trouble hanging IV bags or intubating patients, which is one of the key functions of an anesthesiologist. If you can't intubate a patient who you've just put to sleep and is not breathing, you're going to be in big trouble. So it was a very scary thing to constantly have to call in my colleagues to intubate a patient for me that, like, I couldn't intubate, even though it was not a difficult intubation. And so that led me to go see your neurologist one, number two, number three, number four. And I was told things like, it's all in your head. You're a new mom. You're stressed. You know, I also had wrist tendonitis because I was holding that baby all the time. So, okay, it's not really arm weakness. It's just tendonitis. So, but I do remember specifically one day in medical school in neurology class, they said, weakness is not a good neurologic sign. You don't ignore weakness. It's not the same as numbness and tingling. And I go, you know what? I have weakness. And so this is why I kept seeing different neurologists, but on exam, they couldn't tell I was weak. It was very subtle. So anyways, long story short, when I was told by my mentor that I have MS, called my primary care doctor, she ordered the MRI right away. This process took about 9 months, 9 or 10 months from the time of my first symptoms. So, you know, that's relatively short. Some people takes years to decades, right?
Right. And I think that is the episode of your colleague and friend saying, I think you have MS, was kind of an epiphany that rang true to you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it also speaks to the fact that sometimes when you're so close to the problem, you can't see it. I was in it. I couldn't see it, but he could see it, right? And so this is why, no blame if you didn't diagnose your own MS, right? It's like, this is why you can't be your own doctor. So we do the best that we can with whatever happens, right? Every day we have an opportunity to make new choices, and our bodies are so dynamic that your daily choices actually impact what happens to you on a cellular genetic DNA level. So it's like, it's fascinating. So this is the thing I keep pushing on, because what we do today matters. It's not just a black box where you have to just wait and see what happens.
No, and what I find fascinating is that today is today, and neuroplasticity can happen right now, and we can make it happen. We can help our bodies so much free, like you said. There is so much available to us. And in reading about true medicine, I was overwhelmed at the number of testimonies I read, not even on true medicine, but I searched the web for something bad. There wasn't. It's amazing to hear how people really were transformed by treating their whole body, because they found a spiritual and mind shift too. And that led them to maybe treating themselves and their body and their MS better. Their disease improved as a result.
When people get engaged and start working on the things that we know work, like changing your diet, sleeping a little more, moving your body regularly, managing stress, the effects are obvious in a very short time, sometimes on the order of a few weeks to a few months. And that gives you agency and hope that you can impact your future health. So at True Medicine, you know, we always talk about, we want to inspire people with MS to design their future life, their future health intentionally, and then put in the work to get there. This is something we can all do. And, you know, from my experience as a hospice doctor, when I've worked with patients at the very end of life, 3 days before they pass, there are still things you can do to help improve someone's quality of life, 100%. So, you know, this is something that's accessible to all of us. It's just getting into a program or a place that can guide you. And there are many people that do this work. We're just another program that really focuses on MS, because this is very near and dear to my heart. But I want everybody to know that while we can't cure MS, we can improve fatigue, pain, anxiety, depression. And when we do those things, quality of life improves.
And that excites me right there. Because isn't quality of life everything?
Absolutely.
And all those things that you gift someone through your wisdom and experience and true medicine, you're able to then transform somebody else to believe that their quality of life is different than it was only the day before. And that's amazing.
Yes, definitely. And so many of the symptoms experienced by us with MS are not easily treated with pharmaceuticals. Like, no. Take fatigue. That's a hard one. Like, what medications do we have that reliably treats fatigue? We don't have those. But if you can work on some of the things that we talk about in true medicine, fatigue does improve. And I'm not saying you're going to be running marathons, but if you have a little more energy to do the things that you love and get back to being closer to the person that you were, like, that's a big win.
And I think so much, I mean, you having to make the decision to leave anesthesiology and reinvent yourself is bold. But we all can have that boldness. We all have it within us. It makes it, it's true what you said earlier, that there is a grieving process. And sometimes with MS, it's a continuum of grief in baby ways, that you're saying goodbye to some things, but you're also saying hello to a lot of things too. Because I've found that somebody asked me what I did with my bucket list, and I said, nothing. I just put different scraps of paper in it. I mean, so I'm not going to go to Machu Picchu, but I might go somewhere else. I got up on a SUP board for the first time. It was a great big triumph. I would never have challenged myself to that before. I mean, there are little things that become the big things in your life. And that's beautiful.
It is. And I think when we get diagnosed with MS, it presents us an opportunity to deal with that change and to grow and to pivot. And sometimes we don't get to choose whether or not we want to pivot. Like, I had to get out of anesthesia. It was not safe for me to take care of patients in the operating room anymore. So, you know, I always talk to people about, like, what's your pivot? Where are we going next? Right? Have you thought about how you might restructure your life so that it's more in line with what you can, you know, what your physical capabilities are? And how would your life become less stressful if we could get you out of that job or that relationship or whatever that scenario is? We all have the option to make different choices every day. It's not always easy, but we're adults. This is what adults do, right? And what's wonderful about being in a community of people who also are working towards similar goals is that we get a lot of ideas from each other. We brainstorm together, and we tap into the power of community to heal ourselves. One of the things I'm always talking about with people is, like, how do you create that healing environment in your body? Right? It's by the foods we eat, by how we sleep and how we treat our bodies. And what's that mental chatter up in our head? You know, is it positive self-talk or not? And who are the people that we're surrounded by? If we can kind of pick people that are supportive of our health and understanding, and also on board with us doing the things we need to do for self-care, it goes a long way.
It certainly
it's a process.
Does. It certainly does. And I think some people are not going to have the stereotypical support of others, like family. But that doesn't mean they don't have support, because so much exists in the world in the way of true medicine or community and support groups and community. And I want to encourage people who don't have what they think they quote unquote should, toss that word, and know that it exists for you out there. Support exists, and you are worth it.
We're so lucky to live in a time where we have these online spaces. And, you know, for example, in our online spaces, oh, we talk about some stuff that people would not even talk maybe to their spouses about, you know, but there's a lot of trust built into that group, and everybody shows up with a positive attitude and willingness to be solution oriented. And there's a lot of power in how we support each other to heal. Power of community is really important. It's something to think about as you kind of are on your health journey, because the people that you surround yourself with have a lot to do with your mental state and how you're going to navigate your path in the future towards better living better with MS.
Absolutely. And the power of your integrative care with true medicine leads me to my next question. How do you, in dealing with pain with some people who have pain, who have multiple sclerosis, I can imagine in integrative care, you approach it in an integrative manner.
There's a lot of tools outside of pharmaceuticals to treat pain. And the more of these tools you can bring together, the more synergy you'll have and the better success you'll have with treating pain. So some of the easiest things, and I won't call it easy, but some of the least not in noxious things that you could start with are lifestyle habits. So if your pain is due to inflammation, well, if you can sleep better and eat better and move more, those things can lower inflammation. So that's one big tool. Then there's natural compounds that have anti-inflammatory properties or analgesic properties, which means they're pain relievers. So many things there to tap into. Then there's complementary therapies, like acupuncture is powerful for pain management. And it's something that a lot of insurance companies are now covering. So it's something to look into. There's also the community acupuncture model, which is much more affordable. And then from there, there's over-the-counter pain meds like Tylenol and ibuprofen. Of course, you should use those sparingly. And the more you can tap into all the things I just described, hopefully the less you'll need those medications. And then you go up the ladder, you know, so if Tylenol and ibuprofen aren't cutting it, you might add on some non-opioid medications. And once you've maxed out on that, then you go to the opioids. And then, you know, at some point it might be necessary to see a pain management doctor where they can do nerve blocks, they can put in pumps or stimulators that can help with relieving pain. So there's a lot out there, and it's just a question about being open-minded and asking questions.
I love the latter analogy. I think the multidisciplinary approach is so important. I think reaching for the top rung is not going to do us any good, nor is climbing up the ladder too fast. We need to know what works, and our bodies are so resilient. And we are able to heal so much of ourselves through that. I have found my own chatter quite loud. And to quell that, I can heal it a lot more than I used to give myself credit for.
It's a process. You know, we learn to do the things that heal us. The more we tap into them, the better we get. And sometimes you might look back in a few years and you go, oh, these are just habits now. And it's kind of wonderful, actually.
It's really well put. How has MS made you different practitioner as a doctor in general?
Well, having that patient perspective is really important because I now know what it feels like to be at the receiving end of medical advice, where I'm being asked to do things that I don't maybe want to do, you know, go get an MRI every year, try these medications. You know, it's like, they're not things that, you know, I could be super excited about if it wasn't for the fact that I have MS and I know that they're important to do. So I've learned how to change my language when speaking to patients, how to partner with patients rather than this paternalistic way of saying, well, I'm the doctor and this is what I recommend and this is what you should do. It's really not about me. It's really about what do they want to do. And in integrative medicine, where I work with people on lifestyle habits, it's really important to lay out the options and then partner with the person in front of you and say, we could do nutrition, we could do exercise, we could do this, we could try some of these herbals. What do you feel like doing, right? Because I have never been able to get somebody to do exactly what I want them to do, right? If I want them to work on nutrition and they want to work on sleep, well, they win every time. And it goes back to something I learned in my hospice training, is that it was the only place in medicine where we were really taught that the patient is at the center, and the doctors, nurses, chaplains, social workers, home health aides, we're all in a circle around that patient who's in the center of the circle. So the patient's in charge. We are their consultants. We give our advice, and the patient chooses what's best for them. And sometimes that patient may not want to take your advice, and that's okay too, as long as they understand what the downstream effects of that are and they have capacity to make a decision. So I love being able to not have this hierarchy with my patients. We're equals. I offer my advice and they take that advice if it makes sense for them. And a lot of times they'll come back and say, no, I hated that thing you told me to do. I'm not going to do that. Okay, no problem. Well, I'm a good outside the box thinker and I can always come up with 10 more suggestions. So we just kind of co-create this path towards better health. And that's the only way it's going to work. I can't do this stuff for anybody else but myself. And when people realize that they can be empowered and to make different choices for themselves, that's when like they kind of get fired up. And then they're coming to me of like, I did these five things. What's next? Tell me something harder to do. Or how long should I extend my fast? Or I want to try this diet. Well, great. You know, as long as we're being safe, it's wonderful to experiment. So it's just really a partnership. And I've learned to always listen to the patient and never discount their symptoms. If somebody tells you they're in pain, they're in pain. And it is my job to come up with a plan to help that person treat it. So it's wonderful. I love practicing integrative medicine. I went into anesthesia. I hate to admit this, but I didn't want to talk to patients. I just wanted to play with the anesthesia drugs and the anesthesia machine because it was so fun. And then I went into hospice where I would spend 2 hours talking to a family and a patient. And now I spend still hours talking to people. And I kind of love that too. But if it was not for MS, I would have still been in the operating room pushing drugs, which would have been wonderful too, but I would have never discovered all of these other gifts. And I can truly say my health is at its peak, given what I have learned and put into practice. And I so want to share that with everybody. So my online program makes it really accessible. And we also try to give scholarships and help with funding so that everybody can have access. And on top of that, I try to put out a lot of information on our social media, on Instagram and Facebook. We're going to be getting our YouTube page up, and I do monthly webinars, and all of these things are free. It's so important for me to make sure that the information that's floating around from us is trustworthy, evidence-based, safe, actionable, and that it's actually going to translate to better health for you. So I hope that people seek this information out and use it in whatever way makes sense for them.
I am so surprised because to me, the MS in you is almost like a gift to the rest of the world because I see your passion in helping other people. You might not have wanted to speak with people at the beginning, but you're definitely communicative more than you will ever know about how to heal the body in multiple ways that people wouldn't otherwise know. So thank you.
And maybe I'll just end with something that a patient of mine who's very wise, and I've learned so much from her, she says, MS is a gift wrapped in an ugly package. And I had to process that to figure out what that meant. But now when I look back, I go, these are the gifts of MS that showed me different sides of me and different ways of contributing and being relevant and helping others. And so no matter what each of us is dealing with, I think that's an important question. Like, what are the gifts that I've gotten from this diagnosis that I wouldn't have chosen had I had the choice?
Wise words indeed. Dr. Peyrovi, thank you for joining us on MS News today.
Thank you. I love talking to you, Jen.
Likewise. And to our listeners, information on True Medicine and Dr. Susan Peyrovi will be on this episode's description. This is the Multiple Sclerosis News Today podcast. I'm your host, Jen Powell. Share your thoughts on this episode through social media. You can find MS News Today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us to keep updated on the latest news and to never miss new content and initiatives. Click the links in this episode's description.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com.